Few things are as basic to the operation of federal agencies than the budget process. Circular A11, published by the Office of Management and Budget, is the guiding document for all things budgetary. And just when you think you've got it all figured out, come the revisions. A11 has received some important revisions this year you need to know about. Todd Grams is director in Deloitte's federal consulting practice and a longtime federal executive. He joins us now with what the A11 changes mean. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Okay, only in Washington would we get up at 6:23 in the morning to talk to an audience driving to work about something like Circular A11. So tell us, what is the importance of this document? Give us a short history here.
Sure. OMB has been publishing A11 annually in the July-August timeframe for decades. And as you said, it lays out for federal agencies from the Office of the President what their expectations are, providing guidance, in some cases requirements, for the annual budget as well as strategic planning. And it also discusses expectations of performance across federal agencies.
So it's really more than just process and how to put things in what columns and where to send it on what dates. It's really about thinking about how you want your agency to operate for the next year.
That's exactly right, and setting broad requirements across the government for those agencies from OMB. While it doesn't give them details on their budget or performance, it sets the framework each year for how the White House and OMB expect agencies to approach their budget, strategic planning, and performance.
And in your experience, I mean, who are the people within an agency that actually read and take all the stuff in and understand it? Is it simply the finance people, or do program people really need to know this one also?
Well, I would say that A11 lands in the budget office every year. It's the CFO, it's the budget officer that will pay the most attention to it. But as you're pointing out, it has an impact throughout the organization, not only in budget and CFO, but the other support organizations, as well as the operations. And the budget office plays a key role in interpreting that for the other components of each agency and department.
And so the OMB can amend and change and alter the process at will. This is not something that Congress does.
No, this is strictly a document that pertains to the operations within the executive branch, and OMB has a very good rhythm of putting this out. As I said, every year around the July-August timeframe, agencies expect it. They wait for it. OMB will even share changes that they're thinking about making in A11 with federal agencies for their reaction and input before they publish. So it's actually a good and effective process.
Okay, so this year there are some significant changes to A11, and why don't you tell us what you think are the most important ones and how people need to respond to them?
Well, I think the one that's most important, Tom, and what we're talking about this morning, is that for the first time ever, OMB has put sections in Circular A11 that address enterprise risk management across the government. And what OMB does in Circular A11 is they really set new expectations for risk management in federal agencies, and they also encourage the use of enterprise risk management as a framework or an approach as an effective way to manage risk.
I guess it's probably a good idea to define enterprise risk management because that's something that would seem to be more than just the purview of the budgeteers.
Absolutely. Risk management, when you get it to its most basic level, is everyone's responsibility, from the top leadership in the agency to mid-management to frontline employees. People, whether they know it or not, they're managing risk every day when they come into the office. But what is risk management? Well, I'd start by thinking of what is risk. And risk is really a two-sided coin, Tom. I think a lot of people think of one side of the coin pretty easily about risk, which is preventing bad things from happening, knowing what's out there that may bite you and working to prevent that from happening. But the other side of the coin is being aware and intelligent enough about risk to be able to leverage it to actually improve, drive performance, make positive things happen. So with that kind of as the foundation for what is risk, what enterprise risk management is, it's the establishment of a framework within an organization that consistently applies risk management disciplines across projects, programs, and ultimately it's meant to bring risk to the attention of employees employees, management, and leaders so that the right decisions can be made whether or not to leverage a risk, mitigate a risk, or to accept a risk. And in doing that, you better inform your strategic planning, you can improve your performance, and you can help drive resource allocation to the right places.
So to draw an example out of the news, let's talk about, say, the southern border. And there was the sudden surge over the summer, tens of thousands of extra people coming across. That was posed a big risk to the agencies charged with mitigating or, you know, handling that whole situation. So is that the kind of thing that you would look out for and say, this is a possibility and here's the risk, and then set aside the money to deal with it?
What you would do in the case of ERM and looking at risk, Tom, it is, you're absolutely right, it is about identifying what risks are out there and what, which ones of those risks. Sometimes risks won't manifest themselves. Other times they become a real risk event. And what you want to do is position your agency to where you have identified potential risks and where you have gathered the information and brought the right people together so you can decide based on things like if the risk happens, what's the impact that it could carry? How fast might it happen? Is it something that could happen in 3 months, or is this something that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in 3 years? So you look at impact, you look at what we call velocity. You can also look at probability. What are the chances that this risk is going to happen? And those are the things that are taken into account when a leadership team has to make those important decisions of do we accept this risk because the impact would be so relatively small on the organization, but the cost to mitigate it are so high that we're going to watch it, but we're going to accept it. Or would it be a risk that if it happens would damage or interfere with the organization's ability to carry out its missions, goals, and objectives to the degree that you're willing to put the money on the table to do your best to make sure that risk never materializes?
We're speaking with Todd Grams. He's a director in Deloitte's federal consulting practice. And I imagine there are some risks that are common across federal agencies, such as cybersecurity risks or the risk of fraud, you know, or abuse or, you know, purloining money by insiders, that kind of thing, that everybody shares the same risk. And then there are risks that are directly related to the mission of each agency.
I think that's exactly right, Tom. And you can take that concept and move it down between each department and agency. There are risks that the executive branch faces across most, if not all, organizations. You just cited a few of those. And I think even within a department agency, you can look at it that way. At the high level in a department, there may be risks that multiple components of that department all face, and the department should. That's one of the advantages of enterprise risk management, is pulling those risks up through the organization so that leadership gets a view of the risk portfolio or the risk population, if you will, and can leverage between those risks or see where there are gaps in dealing with them. And that will apply even when you move from the department level down to the agency level and, quite frankly, even into the program level. So you've hit an important point there that applies to from the very top of the executive branch down to the program level. That is true.
And I wanted to ask you about the idea of resiliency, because that's something else that you hear about often in relation to risk management. And so at some point, if you're looking at a risk that is so huge in its possible impact that you can't budget for it, or it's very low, it has a very low probability of happening, then at that point, it would seem like you would rely on your resiliency should the very unlikely happen. And it's something you can't really budget for.
I think that's also true, Tom. And I think it's important, and it's a big challenge in an enterprise risk management program, to decide levels of transparency with risk, because you want to be transparent. That's a key component of an enterprise risk management program. But when you get into some of the sensitive work that some federal agencies do, under the enterprise risk framework, there may be some organizations like law enforcement organizations where finding risks, it would not be good. It would actually create risks to share them and be too transparent with it. While in other cases, it's a very good idea to do that when revealing the risk wouldn't actually jeopardize the organization's missions or goals, because I strongly believe the more people can share their risks within their agency, with OMB, and with Congress, then everyone can understand what they're facing, understand the choices that they've made. So as you said, if the unlikely does happen, at least people aren't surprised by it, and they're more ready to deal with it.
And so to bring this back around to Circular A11, what does it specifically ask agencies to do, and for what budget year will this start to apply?
It actually applies now, Tom. And when A11 comes out, it's effective when it comes out. So what it actually does is it raises the ante. It raises the bar on risk management in the government because it puts agencies on notice that they are responsible for identifying and managing risks that could impact their mission, goals, and objectives. And it doesn't require, it doesn't mandate that agencies set up an ERM program or a chief risk officer position. But it does say you're expected to manage your risk to your mission, goals, and objectives. And then it goes on further to talk about the benefits of the Enterprise Risk Management Program or framework, and it encourages agencies to consider setting up an ERM framework. So I view what OMB has done is it's rang the alarm bell. It's put agencies on notice. You own your risk. You decide the enterprise risk framework you want to use to do it. We're not going to dictate that to you right now. That may come in the future, but they haven't yet. And you have to manage those risks. And here is something called an enterprise risk framework. It's proven to work. It's proven to be effective. So go forth, know your risks, and manage them effectively.
All right. Todd Grams is a director in Deloitte's federal consulting practice and a longtime federal executive. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.